Hello and welcome to our latest podcast. I'm delighted to be here with Emma Swan, partner and head of academies in our education team here at HCR. Emma and I are going to be speaking about special educational needs and education health and care plans, and in particular, the school's ability to challenge the local authority. Emma, why is this such a hot topic for discussion at the moment?
Thank you, Carl. We've suddenly seen a significant increase in requests from local authorities right across the country for schools to take children with education and healthcare plans. What I would say is this isn't by any means unique to mainstream schools. We're finding both mainstream schools and special schools are being faced at the moment with a huge increase in requests, many of which, regrettably, the schools are finding that these placements just would not be suitable. So day to day, we are getting involved in more challenges. So you're very much, if you're listening to this, you're very much not alone. What I would say is, as a starting point, it's obviously important just to be aware of the statutory framework here. So there's the Children and Families Act 2014, part three of which sets out the meaning of special educational needs and also the obligations on schools and local authorities. Now, alongside that, I'm sure you'll all be familiar with the DfE guidance, that's the SEN Code of Practice. Now, schools must have regard to the code, unless there are very clear reasons for not doing so. Alongside that, and also it's important to be aware, particularly because of reasonable adjustment duties, there's also, of course, the Equality Act 2010, and really sits alongside this framework.
So what's the first step which a school should be aware of when a local authority is seeking to name them in a child's education, health and care plan?
Right. It's really important to ensure that the consultation process is run correctly by the local authority. So the local authority, when they prepare a draft plan, and they provide that to the parents will have initially 15 days to make representations as to its content. And this may include requesting a particular school to be named in the plan. Now, if the parents request that your school is named, the local authority must consult your governing body and give you 15 working days to provide a response, and should consider your response very carefully before deciding whether to name it in the child's plan. Now, the very carefully bit, whether that always happens, is certainly an issue that is roundly contested in many instances. And I will perhaps come on to that in a bit, if we can look at some case law as well.
Great. So can the school challenge for any reason, or are there certain expectations in terms of a challenge?
Yes, there absolutely are. So there are three specific legal grounds on which the school can challenge the placement of a child where a request has been made to name them in the plan. These are actually set out in section 39, subsection 4 of the Children and Families Act. So the very first ground is that it will be unsuitable for the age, ability and aptitude or special educational needs of the child concerned. Now, when we're looking at suitability, there was an interesting case in the Upper Tribunal. So this is the case of AJ against the London Borough of Croydon. And here the Upper Tribunal held that the first tier tribunal had actually made an error of law by placing the burden of proof onto the parents to show that the placement was unsuitable. So that in effect means the burden of proof is effectively reversed. So the burden of proof, therefore, unfortunately, is on the school and or the local authority to show whether or not the placement is suitable or indeed unsuitable. Other points that I would also suggest that you should consider as a school is, of course, if the child is significantly above or below the age range of your school academically, is there also an appropriate peer group that they would have at your school? Now, the second ground on which you can base a legal challenge is whether the attendance of a child would be incompatible with the efficient education of others. Now, efficient education in legal terms means providing for each child a suitable, appropriate education in terms of their age, ability, aptitude, and special educational needs. Incompatibility, however, is regarded as a high standard. So it's a stronger term than, say, prejudicial. So as a school, you will have to be conscious of that and seek to demonstrate that when you're setting out your reasons in any challenge. Now, another point that I would just flag up is in the code itself, it actually sets out what others mean. So here, when you're looking at whether the attendance of a child will be incompatible with the efficient education of others, question of course is, who are the others? You know, is that every other child in your school? That isn't the case at all. So what essentially it means in practice is the children with whom your child will directly come into contact on a regular day-to-day basis. So that's something that it's important for you to be able to show. So what you will need, obviously, you know, redacting details of other specific children, but you will need to be able to show the details of other children's needs who will be in that class and impact upon them potentially. And of course, thinking about any staffing, you can look at teacher ratios, needs with equipment, timetabling issues, any use of shared facilities that would be necessary within your school setting. Now, the third ground on which your school can bring a challenge is that the attendance of a child will be incompatible with the efficient use of resources. I will say, however, here from case law, it is actually the case that the resources in question tend to be those of the local authority concerned who's responsible for the child. So this ground is generally more applicable if it's in an independent school, say, that's being considered. What I would recommend, however, is that for all schools, say mainstream schools academies, your school should make sure that you clearly set out what you consider would be the costs of the placement and provide a clear breakdown that encompasses any reasonable adjustments that you may need to make as a school. This also, when you're responding to a consultation, this is a good opportunity for you to request any further information. Now, I have to say, you may often see that the local authority aren't exactly forthcoming in the information that they provide. So do make sure that you consider, and it can be seen in the papers trail, that actually you've asked the local authority to provide further information, say, for example, any applicable safeguarding information and or any risk assessments that are in place.
Thanks, Emma. That's really helpful to know the challenges that the school, the grounds that the school can rely on to challenge. So what if the school is still named in the child's plan despite a challenge being made? Are there any options available for the school at that stage?
Yes, so ultimately the school does have a duty to admit the child once they're named in the plan. However, there is a potential route for the school to consider taking at this stage. Now, schools can make a complaint to the Secretary of State this is something that we're increasingly supporting schools with. So your school can make a complaint under section 495 or 496 of the Education Act 1996. And essentially, the complaint will be asking the Secretary of State to determine that the local authority has acted unreasonably in naming your school. Secretary of State may then make such directions as appears expedient. So that will hopefully be to say, yes, this is unreasonable, and the local authority has to go back and consider naming another school instead.
So you've said that there's ultimately a duty for the school to admit a child where it's named in the plan. What are the potential consequences of a school not doing so?
Right. If a school took the position that the placement was so unsuitable, and say a challenge was ongoing, what you may find is that parents will perhaps submit a complaint initially to your school. There could, just so that you're aware, there could possibly be a claim for discrimination if a child is not provided with a placement where your school is named in the plan. There could potentially be a judicial review by the parents. However, in reality, I would say that's probably extremely unlikely given the potential costs involved.
It's clear that there's quite a lot for the school to consider in these cases. Are there any areas where the local authority might fall down in its obligations?
Yes, there are. And this is certainly what we see. Obviously, substantively, there's a core question as to whether the placement is suitable. But often, alongside that, what we see legally is there can often be challenges on grounds. And this is where, the local authority hasn't essentially followed through with all the steps that they should have done. So what has been really interesting of late, there have been a number of judicial reviews that have been taken forward by Academy Trusts to challenge the decision of applicable local authorities. And in some recent ones, it's been very interesting to see that the academies have actually been successful in those challenges. So just to look at one of them, there was a recent case last year, so 2023, that was brought against Wokingham Borough Council. So some of you may well be familiar with this case. So the school had refused to offer the people a place on the grounds of suitability. School was, however, named by the local authority, and at that point issued a judicial review. Now, in the same code of practice, it states that the comments of the school being consulted must be considered very carefully before the local authority decides whether or not to name it. Now, in this particular case, the local authority had provided no witness evidence from any decision maker, nor could it provide any contemporaneous documentation such as internal memos or emails, actually recording its decision-making process. Now, the court noted in this case that the local authority had also asserted in its correspondence that the school's concerns could easily be resolved by making reasonable adjustments. However, it hadn't explained at all what these adjustments could be, or indeed how they could be put into effect. So in this case, it was held by the court that there had been insufficient dialogue and engagement from the local authority, such that the requisite standard of conscientious consideration was not met, and therefore the decision to name the school was quashed. Now, this basically means, in simple terms, that the local authority has to be able to demonstrate that it really has considered your school's responsive. And that's where I'd say it's really important as a school, however sometimes frustrating it may be, if you're looking at an application for a placement, you may think initially, oh gosh, this will be completely unsuitable. But it's really important to engage and to actually respond to the local authority, ask those questions, have that paper trail, so you can actually show and demonstrate you as a school have done your best, but also show where the local authority, if they haven't, necessarily come back in all respects and in legal terms, given conscientious consideration to the school's response. Now, hopefully that gives you a few tips on the important key areas to consider in terms of challenges to placements. I hope that will be of some help to you going forward.
Thank you so much, Emma. That's really helpful information and some interesting case law at the end there. The increase in local authorities making requests for schools to take children with plans is clearly an issue which is being felt across the country. If any schools have any queries in respect of special educational needs or challenging a plan, please do feel free to get in touch for advice and support.